Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We're a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday evening worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Kim and I went out to eat lunch today. It was kind of funny. We were sitting waiting for our order, and we were not intentionally listening to the people behind us, but they started talking, and Kim was smiling more and more, and I knew she was overhearing something, and so I tuned in too, and they were talking about church, and the lady was saying that, you know, about how the people were dressing in her church, and how she knew that the Bible said that you are not supposed to wear shorts in church. And I don't know what chapter and verse it came from, but she was about to quote it in the restaurant. And so we just tuned in, we're listening to her, and it was kind of funny about the focus people have when they come to worship, you know? And the thing of it is, when we come here, we just come to seek God and just praise God and get to know God a little better, isn't it? I don't care about how you dress. You just come. You come as you are. And Richard, he's been a blessing this week, has he not? Amen. I want to thank everybody that's prepared food before I forget that. Amen. That is a necessity. And so those of you that do it, just think that it's something that's nice to do. It's not. It's important that you do it. And it should be a custom from now on forever. And at any rate. I hope that all of you have had a chance to talk with Richard some, and tonight Tammy was here. She wasn't able to come tonight. They've got a lot of work that's going on at Rose Hill, working with the groups that are going out working on the homes and stuff because of Hurricane Florence last year still. So she's been very active in that. But Richard has been a very good friend of mine for about 11 years now. And I believe that as you guys have gotten to know him, that he is a good friend to you also. So he has been a blessing, and we're grateful for him being here. Hopefully he'll come back and be with us again when things can slow down for him a little bit, and maybe just come and visit with us. It will be an awesome thing for him to do. We love you, brother, and I love you especially. You come on up and share some word with us. God bless you, man.
And as every night before, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Emily, for that beautiful song. Where did she hide? Go off and hide to? Oh, there she is. I know that you said you were nervous, but you didn't show it. You've done great. Wow, what an awesome week. Thank you for the 6 pounds that I've gained this week. I was on a diet. Heading into this week, I went from 225 to 203. Got up this morning just being curious to see how much I weighed, and I weighed 209. So those 6 pounds are yours, okay? Yours. What a sweet, sweet spirit, Brother Steve, you have here. And I God has blessed me, especially this year. On most years, I'll do a couple revivals a year. This year, I've done 3 and 4 weeks. It's been kind of strange the way the revivals have gone this week. The first week I was in revival. I was in one of my associational churches that is just hurting. I mean, there's a group of 2 or 3 families in the church who is just really trying to destroy the pastor. Just ugly, ugly, ugly stuff. And I went there knowing that. I knew what was going on. I've been meeting with this church for the past 2 months, with their deacons, with the pastor, with some other folks. I was even asked to come in on a Sunday morning and give a special message on unity. I was asked, actually, this is what blowed my mind about that. I was actually asked to come in and do that by the deacon who was causing the disunity. I've never figured that out. And so that week was strong. I was spiritually spent that week because there was such a struggle there between God and and Satan and the things that was going on. But this week, man, I have been uplifted. Just a sweet, sweet spirit, loving people. I can tell that beyond any shadow of a doubt that you love the Lord. It's my prayer that this week that you've enjoyed what God's had to say. I promise you that I'm not smart enough to be able to preach God's word without God showing up. I promise you that. And so I just pray that even though the meetings are supposed to end tonight, that revival will really begin. I will be calling to find out what the fruits of revival have been. I hope that in the weeks and or days and weeks and months to come, that as I talk to Brother Steve, that he can report to me some amazing things that's happening. I believe true revival is going to bring salvations. I believe that. I believe that if you, as individuals, you as a church have been revived, then salvations are going to be coming. God's going to send those folks to you so you can tell them about the great love that He has for them. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, if you've not been revived, then when I call in weeks and days and months to come, then Brother Steve's going to say, well, ain't nothing happened, Richard. And I'm going to know that you weren't real serious about revival because you're the only hindrance. God is not the hindrance to bringing revival. He wants you to be revived. He wants His church to be a lighthouse in this community. And for you to be His ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. I ask that you open up your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis. We're going to look again also tonight at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But I want to start out in the book of Genesis. Very important passage of Scripture that I think we all need to pay very close attention to. I think we need to get a great understanding of some things before we can understand transformation. I told you last night I didn't get to finish my message, so we were going to finish up transformation. I got long-winded last night. Go ahead and say amen, okay? Go ahead. Amen. Folks, if you don't know, me and Steve could preach for 4 or 5 hours and never stop. I mean, amen, brother. I love it. I love it. To be able to stand behind the sacred desk and proclaim God's word, man, I am the luckiest. We are the luckiest men alive. I mean, I couldn't think of nothing better to do. Nothing. There ain't a professional athlete that enjoys his job any more than I do. I can promise you that. Listen, they don't do it for free. I'll do it for free. Amen. I will. And have. So I think it's important that when we understand transformation, we have to go way back. I think Steve mentioned a word last night, and I stopped him before he preached my message about metamorphosis. And I had an understanding of metamorphosis, and several weeks ago as I was beginning to prepare and everything, I found some interesting stuff about the word metamorphosis. And that's the reason we've come to Genesis first. And then we'll break open this transformation thought. Stand with me in the reverence and the reading of God's holy inspired word as we look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." The our being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. From the foundation of the world, all three have always existed, folks. Jesus didn't just show up on the scene when it was time for Him to die on the cross. The Holy Spirit didn't just come on the day of Pentecost. They have all three always existed in the way of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three being one, and that being God. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Let's pray. Father God, we are so truly thankful, Lord God, for this week. Father, I thank You for this, Your people, Lord God, who have been so precious and so sweet and so kind to me this week, Father God. Lord, for them allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk and proclaim Your holy word, Father. Thank You, thank You, thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for their pastor. Brother Steve is a man of God, unmistakably. And Lord God, I just pray that You'll continue to increase his territory, that You will always anoint him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, that You will gird his wife Kim alongside of him, Lord God, and give her that same favor. And that, Lord, it's through their leadership, Lord God, that this church, Father God, would be far more than even they could ever imagine. That, Lord, that they would be a lighthouse into this community, that many, many, many people would come to know Christ through this place. So, Lord God, now as we break the bread of Your word this morning, or this evening, I ask that You'll make our hearts attentive, our minds clear, and allow Your Holy Spirit to speak to us, Lord God, so that tonight we may settle all issues about what may be hindering revival in our life, and we can truly say that we've been revived. Father, hide me behind the cross. Allow Your Son Jesus to be in me tonight and speak through me tonight. And all this we pray in Your Son's most precious and holy name. In the name of Jesus, amen. So God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So from the very foundation, from the first person that was ever created, the very intention was for man to be created in the image and the likeness of God. That means from the very beginning that Adam had the attributes of God. He had the righteousness, he had the love, he was without sin. All of those things that apply to God applied to Adam in the garden before the fall. God's had a purpose for all mankind, that we would be in His likeness, that we would be created in His image, that we would be like Him. Please understand this. He never intended for us to be who we are. Sinful, fallen man. However, each of us, and including Adam and Eve, we have an opportunity to make decisions in our life. And Adam and Eve's decision not only caused them to fall from the grace and presence and lose the very likeness of Christ, but because of them too, we've all lost the likeness of Christ. It's called free will. It's called choice. We all make choices daily about how we will live our lives. But please, if you hear nothing else I say tonight, understand this. That was not God's purpose for you. His purpose is that you would be made in His image and in His likeness, and that you would carry His attributes. Hold on to that. Hold on to that through this message. Now let's turn back over to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Last night we ended with the words, do not be conformed to this world. And then we cross over to the but, where it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, be transformed. The word, as Brother Steve said last night, to be transformed does come from the word metamorphosis. It is the very root of the word. It comes from the Greek. And it means to be changed. It means to be transformed, transfigured. There's so many different words that go with it. We get it and understand it mainly from what happens between a caterpillar and a butterfly. To me, that's the greatest example of that there is. And I've always thought, when I thought about that, that there was this caterpillar that amazingly changed to this butterfly, and he was at one time meant to be a caterpillar, and then somehow another something changed, and then he was meant to be a butterfly. Well, that's not what happened at all. From the time that God created the caterpillar was always supposed to be a butterfly. That's who he was. He was never a caterpillar to begin with. His outward appearance may have looked that way, but inside of that caterpillar was always the what? The butterfly. This brings us to us. We were never created to be sinful man. We were created that we would be people that would bring God glory. God never intended for Richard Weeks, for 25 years of my life, 26 years of my life, to live the life that I lived, where I was engrossed in alcohol and in drugs and in any kind of sin that you might could ever even imagine. That was never His intentions for me. He created me in His image. And His image has nothing to do with the worldly, carnal things that you and I participate in, okay? That's not it. His kingdom has none of that. But I made a free will choice to allow my life to be stirred for 26 years down that path. I'm not proud of it, but I'm not ashamed of it. Because I believe those years that I spent in that craziness is what has helped me become the man that I am today. Now, God didn't make me do that. He didn't even... sometimes you say He allows you to do it. If He does allow us to do it, He does it with reluctancy. He does it with reluctancy. But he never intended for me to be that person. He always intended for me to be in His image and bring Him glory. Just like the butterfly, He never intended for the butterfly to be anything else but the butterfly. But see, what happens when we end up seeing the glory in all of it is when you take that ugly, ugly caterpillar. Now, caterpillar's ugly, amen? Prickly and just slimy. I don't like them. They don't even make good fishing bait to me, okay? But then God, through Him, can take that ugliness and make it something beautiful. I've always had, since I was saved, after I began to understand some things a little bit, I should have died, and we talked to Brother Frankie today, and Frankie will tell you, October the 4th of 1994, I should have died. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. 20 foot off a ladder, onto my face, onto the concrete, and they lost me twice on the way to the hospital. I should have died. And if I'd have died that day, I'd have went to hell. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. I'll never forget the eeriness of that day. I don't know if it was what kind of experience you would call it, but I remember laying there. And I just, total darkness, just a total eerie feeling as my life was slipping away from me. There's no doubt about it. If I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. But you see, that wasn't God's plan for me. He wanted to take that ugly man and make a new creation out of him. He wanted to take the ugliness of my life and make something out of it that could bring Him glory. And it's the same thing that He wants to do in all of our lives. And I want to be honest with you folks. There's a lot to that. Bringing God glory doesn't just happen because you're a church member. It doesn't just happen because you are a good preacher. It happens because people can see a transformed life. In this passage of Scripture, it's very clear. The believer is to be transformed. If you are the same person today that you were before salvation, then there has never been salvation applied. Dr. Johnny Hunt says if there's no change, there's no salvation. I've heard and read and seen many pastors who always say that there has to be a clear, evident change in a person's life. The believer must undergo a radical change within the inner being in order to escape the world and its doom. The believer must be transformed and changed inwardly. Now, there ain't much hope for our ugly mugs, okay? We're not going to change that. It's not my outward appearance that God cares about. It's my inward appearance. It's those fruits of the Spirit. It's how we replace selfishness and lust and all of those other things with love, joy, peace. How is a man transformed within his inner person? The Bible declares as simply as it can be stated, by the renewing of our mind. The believer's mind is to be renewed, which means to be made new, readjusted, changed, turned around, regenerated. The mind of a man has been affected by sin. All of us. Sin has tainted our view. It desperately needs to be renewed. The mind is far from perfect. It is basically worldly. It is carnal. It is selfish. It is self-centered, self-seeking. And all of this is centered around the world and the flesh and life. We really do not care when it gets down to it, but about ourselves. That's who we are at our core. Now, that's not who God created you to be. And that's not who is really in you. What is really in you is the attributes of God, but sin has created this within you. Sin is what creates you to be that self-centered person. I was a drug addict. And I have dealt with drug addicts through the years. I mean, God has allowed me to work with one person after another person. I was an alcoholic. I have dealt with alcoholics through the years. And let me tell you something that all people who have addiction have in common. They are the most self-centered people you'll ever in your life meet. They are self-centered. It's about me, 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 me. When I was going out to get my fix of drugs, I didn't care how bad I was hurting my mama. I didn't care how bad I was hurting my daddy. All I cared about was me, 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 me. I didn't care what I done, how I done it, or how I got it. It was me, 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 me. That is what sin does to us, folks. So really, Let me say it this way. Maybe you can get a better perspective of it. Sin transforms us from our original state to being a carnal-minded person. But the grace of God restores us to being who we were intended to be all along. I'll give you an illustration that a preacher gave me about my own personal life many years ago. Jerry Parker was a pastor. He was an electrician. And I was a young pastor. And I was trying to get sermons together. And man, I was struggling. I couldn't make sense of all of it. Still can't make sense of all of it if you want to know the truth. Man, I was struggling and I was struggling and I was struggling. And Jerry came in one day and I said, "Brother Jerry," I said, how do you do it? He said, "What do you mean?" I said, how do you get the word to make sense? And he said, "Well, Richard, you've got to realize something. You got to realize that you're not putting the word in, you're getting the word out." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The word was who? Christ. And Christ now dwells within you, so that means the Word dwells within you." In other words, when we were saved, Christ put the Word in us. It's already there, folks. And what we have to do is release it. That's part of that transformation. That's part of that sanctification that each and every one of us must experience. Scripture is clear about the corruption of man's mind. The human mind has been tragically corrupted by man's selfishness and sin. Man's mind has become vain, empty, futile in its imaginations. Because in Romans 1:21 it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as their God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish heart was darkened." Man's mind has become reprobate. In Romans 1:28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." I'm going to go somewhere here tonight about that word, that passage. I've often, and many people, when it comes to talking to homosexuality, that is the passage that they go to. "Oh, the Bible says if you're a homosexual, that He's going to turn you over to a reprobate mind." That scripture does not just stop with homosexuality. It is every sexual sin. It is adultery. It is homosexuality. It is fornication. It is all of that, folks. God does not puts sin in categories. Sin is sin is sin. And we can look at people and not love them because they have sin in their life. Well, listen to me. If Jesus had to chose that path, none of us would have ever been loved. Amen? But sin turns us over that reprobate mind. And what that simply means is we cannot determine what is right and wrong. Listen, I had a gentleman that was in an affair. He was running around on his wife. He left his wife. I told his daughter, I said, "Listen, I'd love to talk to your daddy." He had quit coming to church. I said, "I'd love to talk to your daddy. Get him to come see me." Well, we had a church league basketball team, and we were at the gym one day, and he comes up there. He sits down beside me, and arrogantly, I'd have thrown him off them bleachers if nobody won't watch you. "I hear you want to talk to me." And I said, no, I don't want to talk to you. But what I said, that if I can help you get through what you're going through, please let me know. I want to be able to help you and your wife work things out. That's all I've said. At this point in time, there was no thought that he had had an affair. But instantly, God put it in my mind, Brother Steve. And I looked at him. I said, "Well, who is she?" And he said, what do you mean? I said, who's the woman you're having an affair with? I'm not having an affair. I said, oh yeah, you are, brother. I said, sin has darkened your mind so much that you don't know what right from wrong is. That's where you're at right now. And I said, you may not tell me today who she is, but it will be revealed and it will come to the daylight. And everybody will know. Let me tell you how bad sin had him, folks. How bad the reprobate mind was working. Not only was he having an affair, he was having an affair with his aunt. That's what sin does, folks. That's what sin does. And even right up weeks and weeks, I continue to dig in after this brother. Man, I really wanted him to see what was going on in his life. He was destroying his family. And I would go to, he had no clue that what he was doing was wrong. I don't see anything wrong with it. What do you mean you don't see it? You claim to be a Christian and you don't see anything. Let's forget about the incest with adultery. The Scripture says that adultery is sin. He didn't see anything wrong with it. Finally, he came to my office one day and I didn't even talk with him about the Bible that day. I pulled up the law on ancestral sin, on ancestral relationships, and showed him that he could get 5 years in the penitentiary for what he was doing. And then it hit him. Oh, no. The law of the land meant more to him than the law of God. That's how far sin took this man down. Now, I want to say something. Glory be to God that he got his life right. And his family is back together.
Praise the Lord.
And happy. Sin will give you over to a reprobate mind. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. Man's mind has become carnal and full of enmity against God. In other words, our mind is really, in all intents and purposes, it's against God and our humanly flesh. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is no subject of the law, neither indeed can be. Man's mind has become blind by Satan, lest it believe the glorious gospel. And 2 Chronicles 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Man's mind has become full of vanity and full of emptiness. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind. Man's mind has become focused on earthly things. Man's mind has become alienated from God. Man's mind has become fleshly, and man's mind has become defiled. Now, I want to go back to Genesis, okay? In Genesis, we were created in whose image? And sin has brought us to this point, that our mind is all off basis. Within us, we're still created in God's image. It's still there. It's buried deep. It's like that caterpillar. It's a butterfly. That's who God created it to be. But all that ugliness has buried it. You say, well, Richard, we're church people. We're saved. We're supposed to be talking about revival. Well, it's this sin that keeps you from being the image of God, which brings spiritual revival. That's what it's about. The mind is to be renewed by the presence and the image of Christ in the life of the believer. When a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord, the man is spiritually born again, made into a new man, made into a new creature, given the mind of Christ, changed into the image of Christ. What this means is the most wonderful truth, and it is easily seen. When a person receives Jesus Christ into his life, he receives the mind and the image of Christ as well. Christ places his mind into the believer's mind. That is, Christ changes the believer's mind to focus solely on God. There was one moment in the life of Christ that he thought like me and you. It lasted about, Steve's looking at me, he says, wait a minute, Richard. Remember, God was fully human too, right? And it was one nanosecond. I mean, it didn't last very long. How many of you can tell me when it was? In the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the one place we see the flesh of Jesus. But how quick did it last? Not long. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, your will be done. So that's the renewing of the mind. I'm so glad that it only lasted a nanosecond with Jesus, okay? I really believe if Jesus had been serious that God would take that cup from him. Now, I believe God would have took it from him. But guess what? He won't serious. Why? Because he loves us that much. He knew he had to do what he had to do. He knew he had to die on that cross. And for you and I, brothers and sisters, in order for us to experience revival, we need to know what we need to do. We need to begin to take all the thoughts of this world outside of our mind. We need to quit chasing the American dream and quit being conformed to this world that we're living in. And we need to constantly reflect on God and His will for our life. Because when that happens, Christ will literally transform us into who we were originally supposed to be. The believer is to live a transformed life that he is to walk day by day, renewing his mind more and more. He is to allow, and the reason we've talked about this week, the Spirit to take over. The believer is not to walk in the world as the world walks in vanity and in their mind. The believer is not as to be renewed by the Spirit of his mind. The believer is let the mind of Christ be in him by walking humbly before God and men. The believer is to think only upon the things of praise and virtue. The believer is to live by the laws of God which God has put in his mind. And the believer is to arm himself with the same mind as Christ in bearing suffering. The reason why the believer is to be transformed is extremely significant. The believer must prove the will of God. The word prove that we find in this passage of Scripture, the word prove means both to find and to follow God's will. This is certainly understandable. If a person's mind is not renewed and focused upon God, how can the person ever find or discover or know the will of God? How can a person ever follow or obey or do the will of God? You can't. Folks, we are in this world, and God's chosen to keep us here. I'll be honest with you, and I don't know how many of you agree with me, but if Jesus came back tonight, I would be a happy man. I'd be away from this old mess we live in. But He's not. At least I don't think so. I don't know that hour nor time. I mean, I'm going to get blasphemous here. He's not come yet. Can I say it that way? So there's a purpose. And the purpose is that His image-made children would understand His will and bring Him glory. And folks, let's just be real honest with ourselves. We've all gotten way too far away from that. Way too far away. We've allowed so many things in this world to distract us from knowing and doing God's will. How many people is in this room tonight? Would you say 75, Brother Steve, maybe? What happened if 75 of us tomorrow morning woke up a transformed person, understanding the will of God? Would you say Sunday that possibly 75 souls could come to know Jesus? And the next week, you could have 75 to baptize Sunday, Steve. Wouldn't that be a homecoming? Amen? Amen. Folks, we are not put here for this earthly work. Yeah, we have to work in the jobs that we work to support our families. But while you are in that job, you should be an ambassador for Christ. There should not be a question of your co-worker whether you've been born again and saved or not. They should see it. It should radiate from you. You should be saved. I know Brother Steve's heard this story before, and I'm sorry, brother, but I ain't got many, so I got to share them, okay? Yeah. One of the greatest transformation stories I've ever, and I mean, when I say transfer, I mean an immediate transformation that I know that is still lasting today. I've never seen an old boy change as quick as this old boy did. I was in Honolulu, Hawaii, working with the inner city evangelism team. Our job was to go into communities and knock on doors and share the gospel. We were in this little village called Palolo Valley in Honolulu, Hawaii. You know where's that?
Okay. I lived there, not in that town, but I lived on Oahu.
Okay. So Palolo Valley was one of the worst places that you could imagine. As a matter of fact, we were told by the police that we couldn't be in there at nighttime. If so, we would. They won't go in there at night, so if we got in trouble, we were on our own. So we're there witnessing one day, and there's two young ladies who are practicing Catholicism. And my boss man, Victor, he was a practicing person that practiced Catholicism and surrendered to Christ and became a Christian. And so he was sharing the gospel with these two young ladies, and he was kind of trying to tell them the differences of the faith. And eventually they ended up surrendering. Well, while he was doing that, I kept watching this man on the front porch, and he was this huge Samoan man. I mean, just huge. Looked as mean as anything as you ever seen. And I'd pray a little bit and I'd watch. I'd pray a little bit and I'd watch. And we just kept, you know, I watched him, and yeah, this conversation was over. The two girls accepted Christ, and we just walked off. I mean, here's another person sitting on the porch that we should have left and went and shared the gospel with, but we didn't. We just walked off. And he said, hey, sir, will you come here a minute? And I'm thinking, uh-oh, we've made him mad. I hope not. We walked up on the porch, and he said, I couldn't help but overhear what you were telling those girls. Do y'all really believe that stuff? And I said, yeah, sure I do. And we talked for a little bit, and he introduced himself. His name was Uncle Vern, and of course I introduced myself as Richard. And we sat there for a right good while talking, and we share the gospel. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We John 3:16. We shared all of it with him. And he said, you know, man, that stuff sounds good, but it won't work in my life. He says, you see, I was the godfather of all of these gangs here. I started them all. I've just got out of prison for murder for hire. I'm the one that brought the drugs in. I am the godfather. I'm the one that controlled all of this. There's no way God can forgive me. told him my story. Told him my Romans 5:8 story. And I said, Vern, I believe with all of my heart, if you'll surrender to him, he'll change your life. I said, he has mine. I said, listen, I won't quite as bad as you. I didn't ever kill anybody or hire nobody to be murdered. I didn't know that. But I was just as bad into drugs and alcohol as you were. And I know that I know that I know that I know that Jesus has changed me. He said, really, Richard? And I said, yeah, really. And that old boy come off of his chair and hit his knees in front of us and began to weep. And in his own words, asked Christ to come into his heart. I didn't have to ask him to repeat a prayer. He just began to cry out to God, please forgive me. Please save me. We finished up and we hugged and shook hands. He wasn't quite as scary then as he was just a little bit before. And so we went on about and was out in the community, and it got nighttime or it was getting dark and we were getting ready to leave, and Uncle Vern was still sitting on his front porch, and he said, Richard, where are you going? And I said, we got to go. I said, the police told us to get out of here. We can't stay around here. And there's no protection. He said, you can't go now. He said, tonight's when those folks are going to be out that needs to hear what you've got to say. And I said, well, Uncle Vern, we got to go. He said, no, you hold on 1 second. He ran in the house and he got him a shirt on. He got him some shoes on. He said, you come on and go with me. There ain't nobody going to bother you. And so we'd walk up to a group of gang members. And, you know, they were joking and cussing and fussing and all of that stuff. And he'd walk in the middle of that crowd and he'd say, shut up. Listen to what this man's got to say. And we'd go from one group to the next group to the next group. It happened every night that week. Well, the first couple nights, he would say, shut up and listen to what this man's got to say. After about the second night, it was no longer shut up and listen to what this man's got to say. He'd say, shut up and listen to what I got to say. Now listen to me. And that culture, when that man began to share his testimony to those folks that he had been influenced his whole life, you're talking about transformation? You're talking about change? That Sunday, I got to preach the first sermon. The way we got there is University Baptist Church from Honolulu, Hawaii, called us to go in. And the pastor told me, Richard, if you will get 5 salvations, we're going to plant a church in this community. When we left that week, we had 257 salvations. And I want to tell you something. That transformed man, Uncle Vern, was one of the big reasons. You see, folks, that man at that moment in time had the joy of his salvation. It's something that you used to have when you were not ashamed or not scared or not too busy to share the gospel. But through the years, things have kind of creep down and down, and we'll talk about it, especially with our church buddies. We'll talk about it. But we're not going to bust up in the middle of a bunch of gang members and tell them about Jesus. We just ain't going to do it. Oh, but we should. Oh, but we should. And you know what? That's a sign of a transformed life. There's times in my life I don't feel transformed. There's times in my life that I cower down and I don't stand up and say some of the things that I need to say. But then there's times that it just flies frequently. As y'all know, I've preached too long this week already, right? You know, folks, we get so caught up in the wrong things. That song y'all played tonight, Victory in Jesus, I love it. I love it. I'll just tell you how some people think. I had a young preacher I was doing revival for. And him and his wife invited me and Tammy out to eat. And we went out to eat. And he, like I said, he was a young guy. And man, he got on his soapbox about the old-timey hymns. He was one of those guys that wanted all contemporary. Listen, I like contemporary. I like the hymns. I like it all. Listen, anything that's going to get the attention of a lost person, I like. Let me just say it that way, okay? But he did not like them old hymns. And he said, if I have to sing Victory in Jesus one more time, I think my head's going to explode. Okay? So I went to his church that night and we preached. Got ready to give an invitation. I don't know what song they had picked out to sing for invitation that night, but I looked over at his pianist. And I said, sweetheart, will you play Victory in Jesus for us tonight? Old boy's head didn't explode. I was looking for that. I wanted to see that, Brother Steve. That was a preacher. Do you see how far off the path that we get from time to time? And we're all guilty of it. And that's the reason we need revival. It's the reason we need a spiritual awakening. I want to ask you, how many of you can remember one thing that beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you got saved, God changed in you? Just one thing. Okay, raise your hand. Y'all remember. Now let me ask you a question. As we get ready to close tonight, what is one thing that he can change in you tonight to help you experience revival? We've all got something that's hindering us from having a spiritual revival. It may be big, it may be small. There's something. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. If you're serious about personally having a revival in your life, and you're serious about this church having a revival in the church that's going to impact this community, I want you to get rid of that thing tonight. I want you to come to Brother Steve, and I want you to ask him to pray that God takes away. You ain't got to come to Brother Steve. I want you to come and lay it on the altar tonight. I love my God. Brother Ronnie spoke with Frankie today. I reckon they had to check up and make sure I was telling the truth last night when I talked about Frankie. Frankie was the guy that shared the gospel with me on October the 5th of 1994. It was the day after my accident. Folks, I don't have any other choice but to believe what I've just preached. Because I know what he done in my life. And I didn't change because I'm a good person. I didn't. Man, God done something in my heart. He made me see people and love people. There was a time I didn't even love myself. When I was throwing my body away to drugs and alcohol, I didn't love me. I thank God he's not finished with me. Told my wife not too long ago that I hope that I can live to 52-year-old. And she said, why would you say a thing like that? And I said, because I really hope that I can have lived long enough to live for Jesus as long as I lived against him. 51 now. Got a year to go. I hope he'll let me live that long. You say, well, Richard, is it a contest? No, it's not a contest. But man, I want to live for him. I don't want there to be any doubt, not any doubt whatsoever, that I've run the race well. We're all in the race, folks. How well are we running it? Are we leaving our mark? Are we making a difference? Or are we just here, sitting the bench, biding our time, becoming spiritually obese? It's time that we make a difference. And I think it starts tonight.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.